Yes, our toddlers' ministries are back in action, as well as our middle elementary, late elementary age. Youth group is back meeting downstairs, so praise God for that. Did the room just empty or what?
Praise God.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Thank you for that amazing singing. I'm just going to pray and thank the Lord for that and just pray that it sounded even better, I mean, to Him. But thank you for that. I think Debbie is about in tears there from that. So, Lord, thank you for worship of song and of our hearts. You could feel, Lord, the heart of this room. And that's all we want to do is worship you. I pray you heard it and it sounded even sweeter than what it sounded to me. We love you. We're so thankful for everything you've done, for the cross of Christ, and for your grace every day. Lord, honor yourself now. It's all I ask. Just honor yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we were looking at the mercy of salvation. We often speak of the grace of salvation. By grace are you saved? And we're discovering now that before that ever happened, we come to a great and merciful God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's because we come to Him, He is merciful, He is always there, and He's a merciful God, and no matter what we've done or where we've been or what our past looks like, we always come to a merciful God. And it's because of His great mercy, we have pleas of mercy. We recognize our sin and we just cry out to Him for mercy, and He's always there to give it. And when we can't help ourselves, when we can't change our life, when we can't save ourselves, He gives us grace. He gives us grace, beginning in the cross of Christ, and then He gives us grace every day, changes and transforms us. Not by works that we have done, but by His great mercy, He saved us, Paul wrote to Titus. Today I want to continue on a little bit more with something a little bit more dear to my heart about the mercy of God. And it begins in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. He's talking about Jesus, and Peter's primarily, his audience, his target at this day, in this letter, were Jewish people. So there's a Jewish flavor going on in this letter, but we know it's for all of us now. And Peter said something really unusual to this Jewish crowd, steeped in their nation and their inheritance and who they were. He just said to them a moment ago in verse 18 of chapter 1, he says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. He just told them that they were ransomed, they were redeemed, they were saved, they were bought out of the futile ways of their heritage, of their forefathers, of that keeping the law and everything that it couldn't accomplish. He just said, you were ransomed from that. And now he says in chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to Him, a living stone, this is Jesus, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Some strange things there to a Jewish audience who would say, we have always been the people of God. But he says, no, you were not a people, but now you are a people. They would say, we've always experienced God's mercy when we came out of Egypt and walked through the desert. And he says, no, you had not received mercy, but now you've received the mercy of God. Verse 9, it's a bit of a weird little phrase. I guess our American translators had a little bit of question about how exactly to get this across. But it says a people for his own possession. And what it literally says is a gathered people. A people gathered by God. Particularly, uniquely gathered by God. And so he says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. He has gathered you, and he's speaking of the church. He's telling Israel, you weren't a people. And they would say, we were always Israel. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the church. He's talking to these Jewish people. And he's telling them, you were nothing. You were ransomed from all that. You weren't a people, but now you are. And you are a gathered people we know as the church of Jesus Christ. He says that each one of us, we are living stones. I'm alive, you're alive. And we are being built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture for them, isn't it? And he says Jesus is alive. He's the living stone. He's alive. And he's coming back. What an amazing picture here. He tells the church, these Jewish people who are now part of the church, that they are chosen. They're a chosen race. He says, you, the gathered, are a priesthood. You're a holy nation. And what you were called out of was not Egypt. You were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, and you are a people of mercy. We are the people of mercy. We are God's gathered people of mercy. We have been given mercy upon mercy upon mercy. If you're anything like me, you cry out to mercy often and regularly. God, have mercy on me. I blew it again. God, have mercy on me. A sinner. God, have mercy on me. I'm struggling to get by. I'm struggling to overcome. Give me grace to overcome this. Now we've received mercy. We are the people of mercy. The phrase, the verse that caught my attention. And as a pastor of a gathered, peculiar nation, priesthood, the verse that caught my attention that I'm really hoping and praying that this congregation, that we can kind of reignite, is verse 7. So the honor is for you who believe. The honor is for you who believe. He's using this idea of honor throughout this passage. In verse 12, he says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. It's an honor for you to receive this mercy from Almighty God. It's an honor for you to be called a priesthood. It's an honor for you to be gathered, particularly in this new thing he's doing. It's an honor for you to be built up on the cornerstone. It's an honor for you to be a holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices. It's much like that singing that just, I hope, echoed through the halls of heaven. It's an honor that you are now God's people. And I couldn't help but think to myself, in how many places the church is not honored. This room full of people, we're not honored. Even sometimes by those within us. It's not an honor to go gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ anymore. It's kind of a nuisance sometimes. We know they don't honor us. But sometimes within us, do you understand the honor it is to be called God's chosen people, to be called God's holy nation, to be called God's priesthood? You get to offer the spiritual sacrifices right into heaven, right into the throne room. We get to do that. It's an honor. The Almighty God of heaven has given us mercy. And he says, the honor is for you who believe. It's an honor. I honor you. It's a great honor to be the church of Jesus Christ, to be that gathered people. It's an interesting verse, verse 8. For some, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Not the honored. We don't want to disobey the word. We weren't destined to disobey the word. Romans chapter 11, verse 31 and 32 says, God has assigned all to disobedience that he might show mercy to everyone. Jew and Gentile were all assigned to disobedience. They were destined to disobedience. And only through Jesus Christ, through the mercy of God, are we honored. He's not a rock of offense. We don't stumble over him anymore. He's our cornerstone. We've named our church after him. We are honored to be here. We are honored to be Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. We are honored to be gathered in his name and to be in his word, in his holy word. It's an honor. I love this passage of Scripture. This was written by Peter primarily to a Jewish audience at that time, not today. But Paul writes a very similar thing to his beloved Gentile followers. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And he came, Jesus came, and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And that's familiar to what Peter just said. We are being built like living stones. We're following Christ, the cornerstone, into a holy temple where the Spirit dwells here as we're gathered. The Holy Spirit is here. What an honor for us. We go through life so quickly with so many things going on. We just need to stop and think about who it is we serve and what He is calling us. It really doesn't matter what they call us. And it really doesn't matter what I call us, to be quite honest with you. But when He says you are honored, you've received mercy, you are my priesthood, you are my holy nation, when He says that about us, it's an honor. It's an honor. I don't know how badly you think of yourself. I don't know how you look on your past or maybe your present sins. I don't know. But what I do know is He calls you and me honored. And He gives us everything we need to come into this gathered people and to worship Him, to give Him spiritual sacrifices that He loves, acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ. Did you know you could do that? Did you even know you could do that? You can approach the Creator God of all things and offer sacrifices of praise and worship and service that is acceptable. Oh, I know you're broken. I'm broken too. I know you have a history that's pretty checkered like mine. I get that. But through Jesus Christ, it's all clean. It's all washed away. It's all gone. Every bit of it's gone. And we've gone from dishonored to honored to honorable. Paul writes in Romans 11, "The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And just as you were at one time disobedient to God," and if you were at one time disobedient to God, raise your hand with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You were in good company. I was disobedient too. We all were. "Just as at one time you were disobedient to God, but now you've received mercy. Because of their disobedience, Israel's disobedience, they rejected Him, so He came to us. And they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. God has consigned all to disobedience that He may have mercy on everyone. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. How inscrutable are His ways. And now I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Because He is so merciful, Paul says, I'm begging you, give everything you have to Him. Every drop. Because He's merciful. I guarantee it. I can guarantee your acceptance because he's merciful. Present your body a total living sacrifice. Throw it all on the altar. Give it all to him. Trust him. Follow him. Walk with him. Hurt with him. Cry with him. Laugh with him. Worship with him. Give it all to him. He's your everything. And I can guarantee your acceptance. I can guarantee your forgiveness. I can guarantee his grace because he's merciful. I beg you on the mercies of God, give it all to him. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. God is merciful. God is merciful. What an honor. What an honor. First Peter, he says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. He says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil or sin, but living as servants of God. I'm so proud of Cornerstone that we serve God. We're not a sitting church, we're a serving church. This is what he says in verse 17. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. That's our banner here. What lives matter? Everyone. Just everyone. I don't make any distinction. I don't see color. I don't see nationality. I don't see Hispanic and American, white or black. We honor everyone. Every life is precious to us. Every soul is precious to us. Because a merciful God sent his Son to die for every single soul. That is our banner. Honor everyone. Even honor the emperor. See it there? Honor the emperor. Honor the president. Honor the queen. Whatever you've got, honor them. Love God. No, that's not what it says, is it? Fear God. Fear God. Why does he keep saying that? Why does he keep saying that? Fear God. Respect God. Well, he just said honor everyone. Honor the emperor. What's he mean? Fear God. Well, he says it a little bit ago in chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Why? Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that as a lamb without spot. Why do we fear God? And we don't tremble, it's not just crazy fear. But inside of me, there's a huge, huge edge. There's this thing in me. I'll stand before the God of all mercy. I'll stand before the God of all grace. I'll stand before the God that says I'm honored, and I am. I'll stand before him, changed, healed. I'll stand before him a totally new man, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I won't stand because of anything I've done, how good I've lived. I will stand with all that mercy and all that honor for one reason. God's Son shed his blood for me. That's going to be a day. That's going to be a day. If I stood there on my own, well, I did this and I did this and I did, okay, I've got an argument here maybe, but nope. Not that. It was blood that was shed for me. It was blood that was shed so I could have that honor. Man, when I stand before him, it's going to be a big day. I've stood before the judge before here on earth, and that was a big day. Had a couple of chances at getting that, and it's a pretty tough time, really. It'll be nothing like the day I stand before him and he says, Terry, I redeemed you, I changed you, I forgive you, I honored you. I brought you into my house, into my gathering to proclaim the excellencies of me and my son. And I brought you in the blood of Jesus Christ. How is it? How's it going? That's a big day. That's a big day. Oh, while you're in exile, live it out in fear, knowing that there's a day I'll stand before him. All that love and mercy and grace and honor and goodness he's given me through the love of Jesus. Terry, have you served? Terry, did you proclaim my excellencies? Terry, did you walk when no one would walk with me? Did you walk? It's a big day. Fear God. Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. That's us. Honor everyone. Honor the president, the emperor, the queen. Honor them. Fear God. Love. Love the brotherhood. Now, I don't got to honor you. I have to love you. Look around the room. Remember a minute ago, I asked you, I said, hey, please, don't snark on each other about this mask thing. Don't snark on each other about what we just read or what I hate or what I love or what I... Don't. Just love. Love the brotherhood. Love your fellow honored brother and sister in Christ. Love the brotherhood. Honor them. Love in here. It's love. He ramps it up, doesn't he? We are honored. We are so honored to be a part of this gathered group by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we conclude our service, as we finish this thing up today, as we sing, as we offer up spiritual sacrifices because we're the honored priesthood. We're his gathered group. And we're about to do that. We're going to worship. That's not all of it. But as you think about this, I want you to know he is merciful. And I appeal to you, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Throw it all out there for him. Throw it all out there for him. Give it all to him. If you've never given it all to him, maybe you say, I believe. Okay, fine. Now let's lay it all on the altar. Okay? Let's lay it all on the altar. And I can promise you, by the mercy of God, he accepts you. He receives you. He has grace for you to change, to transform, to heal, certainly to save. By the mercies of God, I beg you, give it all to Jesus Christ. Give it all.